the University of Texas at Austin's community-based learning podcast.
This podcast is brought to you by UT's Division of Diversity and Community Engagement. We are your alternating co-hosts, Brianna Davis Johnson
and Lakia Omagun.
We're both PhD candidates at UT's College of Education, and we promote community-based learning through our work at the Center for Community Engagement.
In this space, we share stories and best practices from UT instructors who connect on-campus learning and research with real-world community projects.
Dr. Flores shares some great information in this episode. Due to some technical difficulties with the recording, some parts may be difficult to hear or understand well, and we apologize. We hope you still benefit from the interview.
So hi everyone, I'm Brianna, and today's conversation is with Dr. Tracy Flores from the College of Education here at UT. Dr. Flores is an assistant professor of language and literacy, and her work is on Latina mothers and daughters' language and literacy practices and on family literacy. We're glad to have you with us today, Tracy.
Thank you.
To start us off, how does your work on language and literacy fall into the category of community-based research?
So every aspect of my work is involved in people's lives, how people walk in the world, their past experiences or present experiences, and what they hope for the future. And so without people in the community, my work would not be possible. And for my work, I really draw on my own experiences as a second-generation Chicana, and thinking about the things that I wish I had when I was a young girl, and the relationship that I had with my mother then, and what I have now, and thinking about bringing mothers and daughters together in a space where they write and share stories about their experiences, and learn from one another, and to see that today, mothers and daughters, Latino women, Chicana women, are still thinking about the same things that I was thinking about when I was younger, and we're still thinking about what it means to be a woman, what it means to be Latina, what it means to speak Spanish or not to speak Spanish, and how that influences the way that we view the world and how we're viewed. And so I'm very fortunate to be able to work alongside Latina mothers and daughters and to learn from them and learn about myself. I feel like it's made me a better person, a better mother, a better educator, and a better teacher, because all of that fuels the way I think about the way I'm preparing teachers to teach writing, the way I'm preparing teachers to work alongside communities and families, and the way I'm also thinking about continuing my research in ways that are humanizing and in ways that honor they are.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so tell us a little bit about some of your courses that you've taught or that you're currently teaching, as you mentioned, preparing future teachers or pre-service teachers that kind of have the same idea around the community-based aspect.
Absolutely. So I teach a course called Community Literacies, and it's within our literacy cohort. It's only offered to one cohort, which is a literacy cohort, and it's a class where students learn English as a second language teaching methods while also thinking about expanding our views of families and communities and literacies broadly. And so within this course, we talk about community cultural wealth, we talk about funds of knowledge, and culturally sustaining pedagogies in relation to working with our students, but also an acknowledgement that families are an important part of students' lives. They send students to school every single day. They want the best for their students, and we need to honor and celebrate what they are learning from their homes and communities, and think about ways that we can learn from our families to better create classrooms that are inclusive of these resources and their languages and their culture. So in my family, in my community literacy course, which is an undergraduate course, part of this is they work alongside an adult learner. And so we're a field-based class, and I collaborate with the parent specialist at an elementary school. So currently I'm partnering with Ms. Anna White, and she's a parent specialist at Ferrero Thompson, and we meet several times prior to the start of class and then throughout the class to talk about shared goals, because I don't want to just come in and these are the things I want and this is what we're going to do. We really build a reciprocal relationship, shared goals for what do the parents need, these are the needs of my teachers, and how can we bridge these two sets of goals, because I don't want to, it's important to me that I enter as a learner too, because she's got experiences and expertise that are so valuable And so we build alongside one another. And so we meet several times before, we meet several times throughout. We problem solve together, we talk through tensions, because there's a lot that goes into it, because I want to make sure that the parents are having a good experience, and I also want to work through tensions that some of my teachers feel, because for many of them, this is the first time that they're interacting with someone from another culture who's an adult. And so a lot of different feelings come up. They start to feel tensions with who they are as women, as white women, as someone who only speaks English. And so I meet a lot with Anna just to make sure that we're meeting these goals, and for both the parent and the teacher to be having a good experience. And sometimes it's difficult. We have to have hard conversations, not just me and Anna, but also the teachers, because the reality is they're going to be working in communities that are very different than where they grew up, and it doesn't mean that it's bad because you have different experiences. They're all different experiences, and we can learn from these things. And so working through that,
yes,
is challenging too also, because I have a lot that I think about, because as a Latina, I know the resources that are there. That's where I grew up. That's where my family's from. And so some of the things that we experience is hard for me.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. No, you said a lot there that I think is really important, in sort of the advice that we would like to get out to a lot of other instructors. So I'll kind of just pick a couple of those and dig a little bit deeper. So, first of all, when you were talking about your relationship with your primary contact in the community, how did you identify who the right person would be for that? And yeah, just a little bit more.
Yes, so I came into this dream class, like when I was hired, it was my colleagues were like, this is a course that would be right along with what you believe in, right along with what you're already doing. And so I fell into this course that was already established.
Oh.
And I was introduced to the different people. So my first collaborator was Mr. Cameron Allen at Houston Elementary in the SEED program. And they've been working with him for a while, but he didn't know me. So I knew that I had to build a relationship, and I had to really do that work for him to know that I wasn't just coming to, like, take. I was here to work alongside him and the parents. And so we worked through a lot together, and I have so much respect and love for him and the parents that we were able to work with. And then my current, and we still talk. I haven't worked as closely as I did in my first semester. And now currently I'm working with Miss Anna Wyden, and she's a partner school that she works at a partner school that we have a relationship with.
Okay.
And so when I was going to teach the second iteration of the course, I was introduced to her, and we built a relationship instantly because she had worked with my colleague.
Okay.
But I also knew, again, like, I'm a new person. Like, just because I'm with UT and I'm my Melissa's colleague does not mean that I demand a certain amount of respect. Like, I have to work,
uh-huh.
and I have to show up, and I have to be there.
Uh-huh.
And so we spent a lot of time, like, working through what the semester would look like and building a relationship. And she's someone I've come to love so much. So the fact that this course I just taught right now, which is a graduate course that I just created, Family and Community Literacy for master's and doctoral level students, I asked her if I could have my class in her parent specialist room in the evening,
uh-huh.
and then I talked to her about, you know, wanting this practicing experience for my graduate students to meet once a month with her parent leaders to start building relationships and thinking about how do we do research alongside communities, how do we as teachers build with families and communities. And so together we started to plan what this would look like, and I really wanted to center the parents as experts.
Right.
And as this class has been happening, we're learning that some of my students who are practicing teachers now, they never had any type of coursework or any type of experiences with how to build with families, how to build with communities. And so they were really, like, learning some of these things for the first time and having some of these really important conversations about hopes and dreams with these parents that just started to shift their own practice instantly. And then for my graduate students, we all talked about this, but how do we build relationships? How do we enter communities? How do we continue to be allies and work in solidarity? How do we exit? Do we ever exit our communities?
Right.
And
right.
So these juntas that we had, these monthly meetings, were just beautiful. We come in circle and talk about our hopes and our dreams, and then we just built every group up around what the parents wanted and needed, what they identified. And then a lot of this was not on the syllabus, but the teachers, my students came, they were ready. They were doing all this above and beyond, like translating at the meetings for me, with me. They were creating, like bringing resources. And it was just really beautiful how this space became very communal, and how everyone's expertise were utilized and just part of what made it happen.
Wow.
From the parent specialist, to the students, to myself, to someone from the district who came to also support the work.
Wow.
Really powerful.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing. And so you've talked a lot about, you know, centering the community, right, as experts, and coming in as a learner, as, you know, as the professor for
this.
How do you help your students adopt that same mindset, especially if they've never taken a class like this before?
I try to model everything.
Okay.
I don't just say, these are the things we're doing. I am a learner right there with them. I model. I didn't grow up speaking Spanish, and I'm really developing my Spanish. All my life I've been developing it, and so I do everything in English and Spanish so they can see. Even if you don't speak the language of the community, you can still communicate to them, and they appreciate it, and they will support you. So I put myself out there just the way I need to build. And like, they see me being vulnerable, they see the deep care. Like, this is not just a course for me. I always tell them, these are people's lives. And one of my professors used to say, this is not educational exercise, this is people's lives. Like, these theories, like, these are people's lives. And we're not just here, like, teaching this curriculum or, you know, doing research on, like, we need to be in there and listen to the mamas. Like, I had a meeting with mamas to talk about how it was going, and they, like, laid into me. And I sat there and I listened, and I was like, thank you for trusting me. And I reshifted what we did, and they were so grateful.
Wow.
The last, and it's because I took their feedback. I was a listener and I was a learner, and I, you know, I took it into account. I was just like, okay, yeah, you need to be vulnerable. I model these things for my students, and I really also have them unpack who they are. We use a lot of children's literature to then think about our own lives and reflect on our histories and our communities and how we also bring things to the table.
Right, for sure. I was actually just about to ask you about a challenge that you experienced doing this type of work, which you just answered beautifully.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if there's another challenge that maybe came as a bit of a surprise or something that you weren't expecting, and how you responded.
I would say, in my first iteration of the course, like, everything just kind of came together. Like, my undergraduates, they went with it, and they just trusted me, and like, they saw me modeling, and they just went and did the work. And they had to do a lot of like teaching themselves at grammar and coming
sure.
to, because they create lessons, they individualize their one-on-one time to meet the needs of what the learner wants. So we're not all doing the same thing.
Oh, okay.
And so they each, you know, they did it, and they went with it. It was just like beautiful. And so the second semester, you know, everything worked. So I just didn't do a lot of, like, I don't know, it worked. And then the second semester, I got more pushback. And there was a lot of things that were said that I was like, whoa, before we even go work with parents, we've got to unpack some of this. I am not, we're going to go in there and do harm. This cannot be okay.
Yeah.
Because these parents are giving us their time so that we can learn and they can learn. And if we go in there with these attitudes and these mindsets and dispositions, we are going to do harm. And I didn't have that same concern with that person. I know each class is different and each dynamic
sure.
is different.
Absolutely.
And so we spend a lot more time unpacking their own biases and assumptions. And that was, we finally had to go in, but we went in at a better place.
Gotcha.
And I checked in more with Ms. Wyden than I did with Cameron, because I felt the tension, because I did not want parents to feel this that I was feeling every time.
I see.
Because the things we talk about, we talk about, you know, pedagogies of the home, we talk about really centering these families as resourceful.
Mm-hmm.
And not everyone was on that same page.
I see. And when you say everyone, were you talking about students?
Students.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm not saying all the students.
Sure.
Some of them. And so that was hard for me, because I didn't want the parents to feel any of that.
Right.
That was my main thing. Like, I don't know.
not want them to feel like this.
Right, right. No, thank you for sharing. That sounds like you're able to work through that and adjust based on what you are perceiving, which is really great.
And I'm revising for the spring based on those two experiences to ensure that, you know, I'm modeling more. And I feel like I model a lot, but to try to, because I know it's their first semester too, but try to avoid, but like, resolve some of those issues before they might come up. But like I said, each class is different.
Right, yeah. Right, definitely. So, if there's an instructor listening right now who is thinking about, you know, community-based work in whatever discipline, what advice would you give them for how they might start something like this?
Reach out to your colleagues to see what they might be doing. For me, I came in, I applied here because we're field-based, and I couldn't imagine just being at a university and just teaching on campus all the time.
Uh-huh.
And so when I saw that we offered a field-based teacher education, I was like, yes. Mm-hmm. And so I'm in schools all the time. And so I would say to reach out to your colleagues to see, like, any partnership that they have. See not just your colleagues in your area, but, like, across your college. Also, put your fillers out, too, because I came into spaces where we had partnerships, but I've also built my own.
Oh.
So, like, I reached out to Comi Madre when I first got here to see about doing a workshop for girls, and they allowed me to host my workshop in their offices.
Oh.
I recruited girls from their program as well as the local area. And then I also built a partnership with Birth is How There Means, a middle school that's an all-girls middle school, and I was able to facilitate that because I talked to people at AISD.
Oh.
We're like, let's talk about these different schools. What are your goals?
Uh-huh.
I know people would be interested. So just kind of having conversations with people if you're interested. Start having talks because chances are, I don't think schools are going to be like, no, don't come, or organizations. They see it as building capacity in their own school as well as well building a relationship with UT.
Right.
Because I know that UT holds a very high name, like people see it as a really good institution, and I think that going to organizations and talking about wanting to build partnerships and really building and sustaining, I think is powerful.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great, definitely. And last question is, how can listeners connect with you if they want to hear more about your work or, you know, ask you more specific questions about how they might get started?
They can always email me.
Okay.
They can always email me. I'm happy to connect with people interested in working with communities because I'm also always looking for collaborators. And I want to find my people who are wanting to have these conversations and wanting to kind of break down the ivory, the walls of the university.
Yes,
that's so important to me. I want everyone to know, like, this is your institution, not just me, a professor. Like, we're here for you. And so I'm happy to talk to anyone. You can also follow me on Twitter at Tracy Abla. That's my handle.
Awesome.
But I'm always here. I'm happy to meet people and talk with them about my work or about what they're interested in as well.
Great. Well, we thank you so much for all that you share. It sounds like you're doing amazing work. And we just really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. I really am happy to have had this time with you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to The Bridge Podcast, produced by the Center for Community Engagement under the Division of Diversity and Community Engagement at UT Austin.
Stay connected with us at utcce.org/podcast, where you'll find more community-based learning resources. See you next time.